When you have it, say amen. Please stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Philippians chapter number 2, verse 1 through 11. If you do not have a Bible, we will provide one for you. For your use during the service. But we ask that you would please return it at the conclusion of the service. We ask that everyone stand to give reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord, because God is a good God. Amen?
Yes, he is.
Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things of heaven and the things in earth and the things under heaven, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to begin a mini-series. It's going to be three parts this morning. Not three parts, but three-part series. We'll conclude it in 3 weeks on renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. And today I'm going to minister to you about receiving the mind of Christ. Receiving the mind of Christ. If you're desiring to walk in the fullness of all that Christ has for you, you must have a renewed mind. Now, Jesus told us in Matthew 9 and 17 that you cannot put new wine into old wineskins, because the bottles will break and the wine will run out. And so what is the Lord saying to us here? That you have to be renewed in your mind and in your spirit that you can receive the things of God. I want you to know, beloved, those of you listening to me today, those of you that are in this place, that this is your season. This is your time. This is your destiny. This is the hour that God has set aside for you to move in the things that he has had for you for years and years and years and years. Things you've been praying about, things you've been fasting on, things that look like the devil would not allow them to happen. But this is the season that God have caused them things to be so. And if your mind is not renewed in the things of God, you cannot receive what God has for you. Next week, I'm going to talk about the place, and I'm going to deal with how the place where God's sending you doesn't always look like it's going to look when you get to your destiny. Because sometimes God will send you to a place where you don't have the bells and whistles. You don't have this, you don't have that, but it's the ordained place of God that he has for you to move into his area for you. Why do we need a renewed mind? Two things. Let's look first of all at Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 2. The verse says, fulfill ye my joy that ye may be like-minded. Uh-huh. Number one, so that we all can be of one accord. When we are of one accord, we will show the same love for one another and we will be like-minded. In other words, we will become a unified group of believers in the body with the same agenda, and there will be no partiality. Amen. Now, what is my desire? My desire as the leader of this house is to get every believer, every member on the same accord and on the same page. Yes, sir. And that's a challenge, because when you come to church, everybody in the body is not concentrating on their destiny. People come to church for different reasons. I come because I'm looking for a husband. I come because I'm looking for a wife. I come because the choir is good. All of those are invalid reasons for you to come to church. You come to church to hear what God has to say to your spirit and learn how to walk out the word of God that's preached and teach to you on a weekly basis. And so when we become like-minded, I'm speaking to the church now, it will create an atmosphere of unity. Because inevitably, all of us here, whether you're in the forefront of ministry or whether you're in the pew, you're on the same page. And that's to grow in grace and to be developed into what God has you to be. Amen. All of us will be focused on the same thing. Amen. Having the same love one for one another. Amen. How can I tell, Pastor, if I'm on one accord with the church? You will have a commitment to the things of God, and you will not be playing games with your destiny. Amen. I keep telling you week after week, your destiny is nothing to play with. That's right. Jesus is soon to come, church. Amen. You don't have time to be having one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Mm. You don't have time to be messing with people that don't mean you no good and that God have pulled out of your life years ago. Amen. You got to be focused on the things of the kingdom and tell folks that don't mean you no good to, you got to get out of my life, baby, because I'm trying to go somewhere in God and I'm not going to allow you to hold me back. Amen. Amen. Am I doing all right?
Amen.
You will be receiving the word.
Amen.
What does that mean? In other words, you're receiving what God speaks to you. Some people, when you're ministering, y'all will find this out, preachers, as you begin to minister, you'll be ministering the word. You know it's a God-unction word, and people have a defense up.
Come on.
I'm not going to swallow that there. I don't agree what Pastor said there. And it's not what I said, baby, because I have my own faults. I have my own opinion. I have my own interpretation. But you can't argue with what this says. And you can't take bits and pieces that apply to you and ones you want to work with and ones you want to don't.
Right.
Well, I know I need to be coming to church, but you know, at the same token, I don't agree with that tithing stuff.
Come on, Pastor.
Because you know the preacher is getting all the money. That's not true.
Come on.
And it's got nothing to do with the commandments of God.
Right.
So you'll be receiving the word. The second thing you'll be doing is experiencing personal growth.
Amen.
Outside of church. And so outside of church, you will have a personal growth. You'll have a personal study time.
Right.
Only time you pray is not at church.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
Only time you open your Bible is not at church.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
And so you'll have some personal growth outside of church, and you will be able to overcome the tricks of the devil. Because the devil will try to pull you out of your destiny. He'll try to pull you out of your purpose. He'll try to tempt you. But when you're receiving the word and when you're on one accord with the church, you won't allow that.
That's right.
You'll look that devil square footed in the face and say, baby, I've come too far. I've been through too much. I've gone through too much. I've suffered. I'm not going to allow you to pull me away from my destiny. Am I doing all right? You will not just be coming to church week after week, month after month, with no real change in your life. That's how we minister, that's how we measure effective ministry. Is there life change? You have a children's church, yeah, but are the children's lives changing? You have a youth ministry, yes, but are the young people's lives changing? You've got a praise dance crew. You've got a choir. You've got musicians. Yes, but is there life change? Because if there's not life change, then there's not effective ministry going on. Tell your neighbor, we've got to be of one accord. Come on, say it again. We've got to be of one accord. We've got to be like-minded. We've got to have the same love. Let's look at number two. Philippians 2, verse number 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. So the second thing is, you need a renewed mind, is so that you can overcome strife and self-righteousness.
Amen.
When your mind is renewed, you are able to overcome anger that leads to strife, and you have also been delivered from yourself.
Amen.
Now I've been delivered from myself. Some people need to get delivered from their own selves.
Amen.
Pastor, how do I do that? I'm glad you asked. When you've been delivered from yourself, you recognize that it's no longer about you, but it's about Christ.
Amen.
The focus does not center or rest upon you. It rests upon Him. And when it rests upon Him, it does not leave room for strife or vainglory. That's self. There are people in the body of Christ that are activated in ministry, but they're angry and they're full of self. They've been hurt in the past and they haven't got over it. And so that hurt causes everything that they do to be affected. This is why God is speaking to us this morning, because He's got great things in store for us, but you've got to get over your past. And if you don't get over your past, it will affect your future.
Right.
Come on, decree this with me. I will get over my hurts.
I will get over my hurts.
I will get over my pains.
I will get over my pain.
I will get over my frustrations.
I will get over my frustrations.
Because God have great things in store for me. Come on, say, I will not.
I will not.
Say it again. I will not.
I will not.
Let my past
affect my future.
Amen. 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 Come on, give God a hand clap of praise for that.
Amen.
You got to get over it.
Amen.
You got to let it go. Yes, he hurt you. Yes, he lied on you. Yes, he tricked you. Baby, let it go.
Amen.
God want to move you on to bigger and better things, but you can't move forward when you've got things in your past affecting your future.
Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
What are the characteristics of a Christ mindset? Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. We're right at the next verse. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Paul says that we're to have this mind of Christ on the inside of us.
Amen.
And so inevitably what he's saying here is that we're to have the same thing that Christ had in him. To do this, we have to identify what's on our minds.
Amen. Amen.
Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor,
neighbor.
What's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
Say, don't fool me now. Say, what's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
If the majority of your thoughts, if we were to open up your head like they do in an autopsy, I know that's graphic and extreme, and if we were to cut your mind open, and we could see all the thoughts that's running through there on a day-to-day basis. If you were to examine them, if they are not Christ-centered, then you do not have a Christ mindset. If what you're thinking about right now is what you're going to do after church, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, the things of the world, Monday morning, the bills, then maybe you don't have a Christ mindset. Your mind is not on Christ, nor is it on the things of God. When your mind is renewed, then your daily thought process will be on Christ and the things of God. Now, there are three basic characteristics of a Christ mindset. Number one, let's look at verse number 7. The Bible says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. First thing is you will have an attitude or a characteristic of servanthood. Do you have a mindset to serve others? Does serving others turn you on or turn you off? Because serving other people sometimes turns folk off versus turning them on. Why we gotta feed the hungry? Why they can't get a job like we can? Sure they can. Why we gotta give this amount of money in the church? See, your mindset isn't on service. You don't understand that service is the way to greatness. I share with the leaders and I share with people that come up under us that if you're not a great servant, you can never be a great leader. Because if you don't learn the basics of service, then you can never lead anybody because you have not served anybody. And so Christ had a mindset to serve, and his lifestyle reflected it. Listen to me closely. You do not have to be at the forefront of ministry to serve, because you can serve in your home, serve on your job, and in the many opportunities that God provides on a day-to-day basis that we often do not recognize. And see, when you're caught up in yourself, that's the first thing, you don't even recognize God opportunities to serve. The drunk passes you every day on his way to work. And it doesn't mean you have to give him a dollar or $5, but at least you could speak an encouraging word. Are you listening to me? You have, those of you that are married, you have opportunities to serve your husband or serve your wife right in your local household. And we miss out on that. I ain't fixing the food. I ain't washing the dishes. I ain't even washing the clothes. That's not a servant mindset. What you do unto me, you do it unto God. Jesus said, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto the Father by him. So when you're washing the clothes, I'm doing it in Jesus' name. He may have an attitude. He may not like it, but this is done in Jesus' name. And if he treats me the way that I don't want to be treated, that's between him and God. But it doesn't negate your responsibility to serve. Am I doing all right? Number two, verse number 8 says, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself. So number two is humbleness under the characteristics of a Christ mindset. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how humble are you? Jesus emulated humbleness by washing his disciples' feet. Bunions, corns, horrible toenails and all, fungus. Y'all don't want to be real. Take a real servant to wash feet. This was the Son of God. This wasn't the average Joe. This wasn't the high priest. This was the Son of God. But he humbled himself, being found in the fashion of a man, and washed his disciples' feet. Ask yourself, do you thrive at being in the spotlight? You got people that they just want to be in the spotlight. They want their name connected to everything. Let me tell y'all something. There's some things that you're going to do in life and in ministry that nobody's going to recognize, nobody's going to see but God, and they're more valuable than things that will ever get the big time spotlight. As the pastor of this house, I'm called to the forefront. I'm called to the spotlight. When we go on television, they will see me. But you know they couldn't see me without y'all. So don't think because you're not up in the front that your job is insignificant. That's why you got to watch what you do, because you're moving the pathway to servanthood. Well, all I do is clean the church and polish the doorknobs. Be the best church cleaner and the best doorknob polisher possible. Because it's not insignificant in the eyesight of God. I hope y'all are getting something out of this. Does your attitude and personality display humbleness? In other words, what you portray, your persona, is it a humble persona or is it arrogant, prideful, and puffed up? Because when it's arrogant, prideful, and puffed up, it's all about you, and people don't receive that. You can be big and bad and boastful and proud, but people ain't, they don't care how much money you got in your pocket. They don't care what kind of shoes you got on or what kind of suit you wear or what kind of car you drive. People ain't concerned with that. All they want to know is, do you have a connection with Jesus? Because you got something that money can't buy right now. And that's what I need, something that money can't buy. James 4 and 10 says to be humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Are there any humble people in here this morning? Number 3, verse 8 says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Number 3 is obedient. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how obedient are you to God and His Word? I don't play games with your neighbor. Come on, ask, say, neighbor, don't fool me now. Be real with me, prayer. How obedient are you to God and His Word? When you have this characteristic in operation, you obey God consistently and without compromise. Look at the mindset of Christ. I hope y'all are hearing this morning. Jesus obeyed God even unto death. Not just a death, but the death of the cross. It was a horrible, brutal, vicious, cruel beating that He took. And then was humiliated and died between two thieves as the Son of God. But He was obedient unto death. Ask yourself, say, self. Come on, say, self. How far am I willing to walk with Him? If it means losing out on your family, your friends, your fun, losing your corporate status or your name or identity that you've established over the years, if He tell you to walk away from it, are you willing? Will you be obedient? Does material things mean more to you, and the preference of friends that don't have a heaven or hell to put you in mean more to you than being obedient to God? Does the boyfriend mean more to you than being obedient to God? Does the girlfriend mean more to you than being obedient to God? I'm trying to tell y'all something in here today. You got to have the mindset of Christ if you want to move into your purpose, if you want to move into what God's called you to do, because you can't take junk in where God wants to take you. That's right. If Jesus said, get rid of that ungodly relationship and live for me, or He told you to leave so-and-so alone, to be faithful and follow me with all your heart, not some of it, would you be obedient, or would you just give God half of your heart? You give God half of your heart when you don't obey the entire commandment of God. You just say, God, you know, you're a great guy and you take care of me and you meet all my needs, but I'm not just ready yet to give you my whole heart. But what you're saying to Him that you don't understand, hear me in here this morning, is that the thing in my life means more to me than you. And if that thing means more to you than God, then you've got major problems. Because God wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that you ask or think. But He can't do it with you having stuff in your life that doesn't please Him, that you refuse to be obedient to Him with. When you renew your mind and display the characteristics of Christ, the characteristics of a Christ-like mindset, there is a blessing that comes along with the price. Is there anybody in here this morning that's paying a price? Say, Pastor, I'm paying a price for this anointing. I'm paying a price for this purpose. I'm paying a price for what God has for me. I'm going to close with this. What happens when you receive the mind of Christ? Let's look at Philippians 9 through 11. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. When you receive the mind of Christ, there are two things that God will give you. First of all, let's look at what He gave Jesus. God highly exalted Jesus. When you receive the mind of Christ and walk in it, God will release you unto the same measure that He released unto Jesus. He will exalt you and give unto your life the requests of Him and your heart's desires. That's why while Jesus was here on earth, He was highly exalted. And God gave Him everything He asked for. There wasn't a need that Jesus didn't have. There wasn't a desire that Jesus didn't have. There wasn't money that Jesus needed that He didn't get. He was highly exalted because of His obedience, and He had the mindset of Christ in operation. The second thing that He will give is eternal blessings. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 6. quickly. Verse 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. First book in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where the moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break forth or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the second measure of blessing that God gives when you receive the mind of Christ are eternal blessings that fadeth not away. Let's look back at Philippians again, chapter number 2, and see what God did for Jesus. Philippians 2 and 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of the things in heaven, the angels and the principalities in heaven, the things in the earth, those that walk the earth, every person, there's well over 6 billion people on this planet, but every person, there will be a day when every person will bow at the name of Jesus. That's an eternal blessing. And things under the earth, those that have died and gone on to be with the Lord, or have gone on to be in the kingdom of Satan, they will also have to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. And that every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so, beloved, when we receive the mind of Christ, he gives us the same eternal blessings. He gave Jesus the royalty of his name. And he solidified these things while he was on earth. The same is in store for us. While we are here with the mindset of Christ in operation, listen to me closely, he has already prepared blessings for us that he will release while we're in the season that he ordains. So while you're on earth, God will exalt you and give you everything that you ask for. Listen to me. It may not look like it now. You may not see it now. It may not be tangibly manifesting now. But don't give up. Amen. Don't throw in the towel. Amen. And watch God begin to bring into your life those things that you've prayed for and you've been believing God for all this time. He'll do it while you're here on earth. And while you're on earth and you're serving him and you have the mindset in heaven, he's preparing a place for you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I leave again, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Anybody ever seen the governor's mansion? Very large, very lavish, but it's got nothing compared to what God has for each and every one of us. If there's 6 billion people on the planet and just a quarter of them are saved, and he has a mansion for every one of them, my God, can you imagine how big heaven is? Can you imagine the cost of gold per share here and what gold is up there? Because he said, blessed is the man that endureth in temptation. If when he is tried, he receiveth a crown that fadeth not away. Eternal blessings here on earth and in the throne room of heaven. And so I close with this. I ask you again, what's on your mind? Is it the things of God or is it the things of the earth? It's your choice. Start the process today and begin to renew your mind to the things of God. Come on and put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Let's just stand to our feet this morning.